Mark chapter 6, starting with verse 50, and we'll be going through 52, and some others this morning. But the question I have is, are you facing the trials of life alone? So in Mark chapter 6, I'd like to look at some subtitles, and if we look at some Bibles may have subtitles and some don't, but in Mark chapter 6, I have here 5,000 fed, Jesus walks on water, or walks on the sea, I should say. But you can see in this chapter, and if we start with verse 45, is where we see the documentation, the story, when Jesus walks on water. Now, the disciples were terrified. The wind was blowing, the waves were crashing all around, and the boat was about to sink. Just then, we see a pale light shining on top of the waves, and it's growing larger and larger. And it seems to be riding up and down with the waves, and as it moves closer, it takes on a human shape. At this point, the disciples were yelling and screaming in despair. They can't believe this. The disciples had been rowing 3 or 4 miles around already and were basically back to where they began. They'd been fighting the wind. They were certain they were going to die in the water. Let's turn to verse 50. It says here, "For they all saw him and were frightened, but immediately he spoke with them and said to them, 'Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid.'" It's the master. Now their terror turns to joy. The master, you can almost hear their shouts of relief. "Master, master, is it really you? We thought we were going to die." This is the point in the story in some of the gospels where Peter asks to walk on water, but we're not going to talk about that today. It's not in this book of Mark. So I want to review just the events that are narrated here in chapter 6 of Mark. So if you look at verse 51, "And he got into the boat with them, and the wind stopped, and they were greatly astonished." Now, utterly astonished. Now, I need to confess, if I saw somebody walking on water, I would be amazed. You have to understand some things the disciples had observed up to this point. It wasn't that long before that Jesus had calmed the waters just by his word. They watched him heal people. They saw him raise people from the dead. So how on earth could they be amazed that he could walk on water? What was so amazing about it? They just watched him feed 5,000 people, and that's actually just the men, but you have their families with 5 loaves and 2 fishes just that very day. So how could they be astonished? They really don't get it. Their hearts are hardened. But the question this morning is why? Why were the disciples' hearts hardened? How could the disciples miss what Jesus was all about? Or another question, how could they be astonished when the powerful Jesus walked on water? Or how could their hearts be hardened to the real Jesus? Or another question would be, how could the disciples miss what Jesus was all about? So these are the questions that we're going to look at this morning, focus on, and see if we can come up with some answers. So if you look at verse 51 and 52 closely, says there, "They were utterly astonished as they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, but their heart was hardened." Here we find the key to understanding why the disciples were amazed, why they didn't know Jesus for who he was. This verse says they had not gained any insight from the incidents of the loaves. Jesus had just fed 5,000 people, plus men, women, children, and they didn't get it. They didn't understand the lesson that he had in it for them. So to understand how they could misunderstand Jesus, we need to understand this lesson of the loaves. Now let's look at the actual story here of Jesus feeding these 5,000. Now Jesus had taken the disciples to a deserted place for a break, a rest. There were a number of reasons why he did this. First, the disciples were just plain worn out. The Bible says, let's look in verse 31 here of chapter 6. Verse 31 reads, "And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while. For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat." So they were tired. They had been working hard for Jesus and extremely busy. But in verse 30 we read, "The apostles gathered together with Jesus and they reported to him all that they had done and taught." The key here is they came to Jesus. They told him what they were doing. The disciples were starting to focus on their works and not on his works through them. The Desire of Ages reveals how Jesus wanted to get them away and spend time with them, teach them a few lessons. They were starting to focus too much on themselves. They were starting to take some credit for the miracles that they were performing. He wanted them to learn how to trust in the Father like he did. So they arrived on the beach and the crowd was already there waiting to them, 5,000 men plus their families, which you know could mean as maybe up to 20,000 people. Now, that's a big crowd, and to give this some perspective, I looked up the seating capacity of the Fargo Dome. The Fargo Dome's seating capacity is 19,000. So to put this in perspective, you have a crowd that's bigger than what the Fargo Dome can hold. Sitting on this hillside, what is Jesus to do? The Bible tells us that he spent some time, actually, the Spirit of Prophecy also tells us, Jesus spent some time with the disciples, and then he went up to the mountain, and he met the crowd, the multitude. So now we have Jesus, who's been speaking to the crowd all day. They're hot, they're tired, no food for a day. Think of the parents with children. Then there are the disciples who are getting irritable. They come to Jesus and say, and we can see this in verse 35, "And when it was already quite late, his disciples came up to him and began saying, the place is desolate. It is already quite late. Verse 36, send them away so that we may go to the surrounding countryside and villages, so they may go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." Now, in response, it sounds to me like if we look at this in verse 37, Jesus has a little bit of humor here, maybe ribbing them a bit when he looks at them with a possible, you know, twinkle in his eye and says in verse 37, "But he answered and said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, we shall go and spend 200 denarii on bread and give them something to eat. If you think about it, they cast out demons in my name. You heal people. Now you feed them." And they're like, "What? What are you talking about?" So as Jesus instructs, he has the people sit down. And you know the story. They passed around the loaves and the fishes. And pretty soon, some 20,000 people were fed. There are 12 baskets of leftovers sitting around. So what was the lesson of the loaves about? What was the lesson that the disciples, or that Jesus had for the disciples? The answer is that the lesson showed the disciples were focused on their own earthly plans and abilities and not Christ. The Gospel of John talks about how the people, the crowd, were ready to make Jesus king that day. And the disciples were promoting this as well. They said, yes, make Jesus king. If you go back into Desire of Ages and read the chapter on Judas, actually he was one of the main leaders in trying to have Christ made king that day. Just imagine. Now, these were a lot of people coming into this area. They were all heading toward Jerusalem for the Passover. With 20,000 people, they could have taken Jesus, marched him down to Jerusalem, and set him up as king. But at least that's what they thought. But Jesus puts a stop to these plans. His commands are that the disciples go down, get into the boat, and go across the lake. "I'll meet you on the other side." And he goes to the crowd of the 20,000 strong and sends them home. So we have the disciples leaving. They're discouraged. They're bitter. They're angry. They wanted to crown him king, and now their plans are ruined. What is he doing anyway? And a few hours later, they're fighting for their lives. on the raging sea. So what lesson did the disciples miss? What was Jesus trying to teach them when he fed the crowd? Why were the disciples so amazed when Jesus walked on the water? To understand this, we need to understand this lesson about the loaves. Could it be the lesson of relying on Jesus? It seems to me that it had something to do with the disciples' reliance on themselves. It has something to do with the disciples relying on themselves instead of Jesus. And in verse 37, Jesus says, "You feed them." It was like he was saying, "Hey, see if you can do it yourself." And then he does it. I am the source. So let's go to a second place where we can get an answer, I believe. And let's turn to chapter 8 here in Mark. Mark chapter 8. Now this setting is on the other side of the story. Jesus, after he had walked on the water, he went north to the border of Syria. And up there he actually has another opportunity to feed 4,000 men plus their families. Afterwards, Jesus gets into an argument with the Pharisees and they get into the boat. They come back, they get into this boat once again, and the disciples have forgotten bread. Jesus had just fed 4,000, these loaves, and they forgot bread. They had gotten into the boat, and Jesus says to them, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." And so they say, "Oh, he's rebuking us now because we forgot the bread, to bring bread with us." And Jesus is like, "No." And we read in verse 17, he rebukes them. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Do you not see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart?" Notice the same words that were used with the story of him walking on the water. Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? And then he asked them, "How many baskets were left over when I fed the 5,000? 12. How many baskets were left over when I fed the 4,000? 7. And he was saying to them, "Do you not yet understand?" What was he telling them? He was saying, "Are you still relying on yourself? You're so worried that you forgot a few loaves of bread. Look how many loaves of bread were left over after I fed the multitudes. Why are you relying on yourselves?" And this is the answer for why they totally missed what Jesus was about there on the water that night. And the main point this morning is self-reliance keeps you from knowing and having a close relationship with Jesus. Those who take credit for success don't really know him. Those who really rely on themselves miss the real Jesus. This is why the disciples missed Jesus there in the storm. They missed the point of the loaves. They had been trusting in their own beliefs about Jesus. They were becoming spiritually proud. The saddest truth from the gospel is that the disciples never learned the lesson till it was basically all over. Perhaps even after Jesus ascended to heaven, they never understood it. I think of Peter telling Jesus, "No, you won't be killed. Never, Lord." Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." He doesn't understand. He doesn't understand Jesus. Peter has his own agenda. The Messiah that he knows is the Messiah that's coming to overthrow the Romans and rely on his own ideas, that he can't really know Jesus. Later we see Peter exclaiming, "No, I'll never deny you. Never, Lord." And we know what happened. I will never deny you. Trusting in himself. Think of Jesus going to Gethsemane and praying, and the example of one who knew how to rely on his Father. Then in contrast, there are the disciples sleeping. How much different the story could have been if they had learned the lessons of the loaves. Even after his resurrection, it says, after he had appeared to the 11 themselves, as they were reclining at the table, and he reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. Jesus appeared to everybody but the disciples, and the disciples still did not believe because they were still trusting in their own ideas about Jesus. They didn't know what he was all about. Self-reliance keeps you from really knowing and having a close relationship with Jesus. What a contrast. Jesus, Master of the universe, Lord of creation, understands that he is weak, and instead of relying on his own power, which it seems like he had the right to do, goes to the Father, and he spends hours, nights in prayer, pleading, Father, help me. I can't do this without you. Jesus knows what it's like to rely on the Father. No wonder he could say that he and the Father are one. He knew the Father because he trusted him. And the disciples, while Jesus was rescuing the world, while he relied on his Father, the disciples failed their Lord because they trusted in themselves. Self-reliance keeps us from really knowing and having a close relationship with Jesus. Yet, the good news is that Jesus did not leave them to themselves. Let's turn back to Mark 6. Mark 6, verse 47. Mark chapter 6, 47 reads, when it was evening and the boat was in the middle of the sea and he was alone on the land, and seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them. Notice what Jesus does. He starts to walk out. He's going to them. I'm just imagining that Jesus standing there, and he could see out across the lake, and he sees them out there trying so hard on their own. You know, they had been there most of the night. It's early in the morning. They're rowing. They're strong. They're seamen. They know what they're doing, and yet they're helpless. Jesus must think to himself, oh man, they're still trusting in themselves. But he gives them an opportunity to rely on him. And he starts walking out to them. And it's kind of interesting. I love how creative Jesus is. Who would have thought to go out just, I'll go out and walk and see them. And in verse 48 we read, about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and he intended to pass them by. I see Jesus walking, saying, okay, I'm here. I'm just walking on by. I'll see you. He didn't force himself on them. He didn't say, here I am. I'm here to rescue you. He wanted them to reach out and plead with him. Rescue us. He wanted them to rely on him. Jesus saw them out there struggling. He saw them facing the storm alone. Are you facing the trials of life alone this morning? Are you struggling with the troubles of life without Jesus? Maybe you know him. You know the disciples knew him better than we do, but they missed something. Are we doing the same? Are we trusting in ourselves? Jesus longs to have you let him into your boat. Have you ever relied on Jesus? Have you ever experienced it? When you trust in Jesus to rescue you from day-to-day trials and struggles, did it draw you closer to him? When you trust him to get through financial troubles, did it bind your heart closer to him? People who rely on Jesus really get to know him, but self-reliance keeps you from really knowing and having a close relationship with Jesus. Once again, we see the disciples terrified. Here they thought it was a ghost. They were frozen with fear. They're not able to row, and Jesus says something quite beautiful. He says, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. So again, are you facing the trials of life alone? Are you missing the real Jesus? Are you tossed by the wave of a rough marriage? Are you dropping down into the trough of depression? Are you drowning with the burdens of job, family, school, and bills? Are the winds of chronic disease and pain blowing you farther and farther away from Jesus? Are you struggling all alone? Jesus says to you this morning, it is I. Don't be afraid. Stop trusting in yourselves. I assume everyone's heard of Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom was a very famous lady. This young Christian lady tried to help the Jews during World War II. Eventually, she was captured by the Nazis. They came and they took her away, where she had to watch many of her family members die, especially her sister there in the concentration camp. Her whole story is learning to trust in Jesus, to trust him to help her to forgive the people who were treating her so bad. And the story that she tells about this many years later after the war, when she was traveling and speaking through Europe, and about how God had helped her forgive. After one of her seminars, a man stands up and looks her in the eyes and into the eyes of the man It was the guard who killed her sister.
He looks at her. He spreads out his arms and says, "Can you forgive me?" She says it was the hardest thing she ever did to step forward and put her arms around him. But then they embraced with tears. She had learned to trust in Jesus, to rely on him, to help her, to forgive. And when she did that, she understood that Jesus, the one who can look his enemies in their eyes and says, "I forgive you and I love you." She understood the real Jesus because she trusted in him. In what ways are you relying on yourself? What ways am I relying on myself? Are we facing life with hardly a prayer? Are we making decisions about without Jesus? Are we working without him by our side? Are we refusing to take time away to spend with him that we need? This morning, I encourage you, don't miss Jesus. Don't let him pass you by. Throw yourself on his mercy and says, "Jesus, I want to trust you. I want to be like how you were with the Father. Jesus, I want to put my trust in you. I want to know you." Self-reliance keeps you from really knowing and having a closer relationship with Jesus. Those who trust him do know him.